Good evening. Remember to be in prayer for our missionary of the week, the Blackwells, who are back in the States for just a little bit of time before flying off to Zimbabwe. So let's continue to keep them in our prayers this week. And let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry of the Blackwells, their many years of service there in South Africa. And now, as they've transitioned their ministry to reaching South Africans who have emigrated from South Africa to other countries, we thank you for the time that you allowed them to be in Australia and New Zealand, ministering down there. We thank you for their safe return. We pray that while they are here, that they'd be able to get some rest, that you would give them the energy they need to continue ministering as they plan on going to Zimbabwe. We pray you provide the funds needed for their travel expenses. I pray that you would meet their living needs as they will be staying in these foreign countries. And I pray that their ministry would be effective in the lives of those they're ministering to there as they head to Zimbabwe. We pray for their health, that you'd keep them strong, keep them faithful to your word. We pray now for the message tonight. We ask that you would grant me your power and strength, clarity of thought, that the words I say would be words that you would have us to hear tonight. I pray that you would work through the message in each of our lives to point us to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just guide now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our Bibles and we'll turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. I did not finish the chapter last week. We went through the first 12 verses. We saw that on the first day of the seventh month, this is when the event came about, they realized it was the Feast of Trumpets, and they were not to mourn as Nehemiah instructed the people there in verse number 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And Nehemiah and Ezra and several of the leaders there in Jerusalem were encouraging the people to keep the Feast of Trumpets. We saw that last week. We're going to start tonight in verse number 13. And it says, on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. So it is the second day of the seventh month. And the leaders have gathered together unto Ezra to get a better understanding of the law. They heard the law preached. Remember, they were standing from morning till midday as the word of God was read and as it was taught to them. And now the second day, the leaders, the chief of the fathers, have gathered together for a better understanding. You know, we gather together to get an understanding of God's word. And it points us to a great God. I know this past year, Austin just sent out an email about the teen activities coming up for this coming school year and potential things. Last year, he sent out an email, and he had asked me to do an escape room for the teens. And it took me several months thinking, what is the theme going to be? How am I going to get all these different puzzles and things to line up in order to reach them to some goal? And it takes a lot of preparation, a lot of thinking. And it came down to the night I had everything set up. The teens came in and I shut them in rooms and gave them some clues to get out of. And I had to wait. I knew the answers to the clues. I knew how to solve the clues, but they didn't. I thought they would easily, my thought was, oh, it'd take them maybe 10 minutes to figure out the first set of clues to get out of those rooms. But no, it was like 20, 30 minutes. And it's like, okay, are they ever going to get this? And I'd come in at times and I'd give some hints. Well, maybe you should try this, or maybe you should try that. And it was all stuff that I had planned in my head, and I had a focus for that one night for that group of people. God is much greater than I am. I don't even compare. But he had a plan, not just for a small period of time, but a plan for time, from the beginning to the end. He had a plan for all people. And he would reveal certain things at certain times to the people so that they could get a better understanding of how things worked. The teens did finally get out. But have we figured out everything? No. God has given us his word. And tonight, we're going to look at another one of the feasts. We're going to see it here as these elders have gathered together unto the chief priests and Levites and Ezra, and they'll get a better understanding of one of the feasts that God has set in place. It says in verse number 14, they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them, made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the streets of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also, day to day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. They came together, they saw, you know what, there's a feast coming up. Today's the second day of the month, but on the 15th day of the month, there's this feast of booths that we are to celebrate. And we are needed to publish about, tell the Israelites around to come make them booths. This is one of the feasts that they're required to go to Jerusalem for. Bring everybody in, and we'll celebrate this feast of booths. And it says in this passage, they had not celebrated it since the days of Joshua. Wow. The whole time of David, Solomon, the whole time of the judges, they had not celebrated all the feasts that God had planned. And God had a picture in each of those feasts. We're going to look at this Feast of Tabernacles tonight. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter number 23. Leviticus chapter 23. This is where God gives the command to Israel and instruction about this Feast of Tabernacles. He originally mentions it in Exodus, but he calls it the Feast of the Ingathering. It is a feast at the end of the year when they're bringing in the harvest. You know, we kind of celebrate Thanksgiving in November. We celebrate the harvest, the bounty that God has given. Well, in Exodus, it makes it seem like this is something about celebrating the provision that God has provided. But we get to Leviticus, and he calls it the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, and they are to gather together and build little dwellings out of palm branches and different branches to symbolize their wandering in the wilderness. Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse number 34, it says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. So this is a feast that lasts for 7 days. On the eighth day is another day that they produce as a holiday. It is a solemn day to remember. Dropping down to verse number 42, Verse number 42, it says, "Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. This is a passage that I believe Ezra and the scribes were instructing the leaders in Israel about. What are we to do? How is this to be performed? Because we're unfamiliar with this feast. And so they went through this. Okay, we need to build these booths. Remember that God brought us as wanderers in the wilderness, and we dwelt in booths. But we see that although Israel did not practice it from the time of Joshua on, there are some places in Scripture where the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles is celebrated. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, let's turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 31, this is towards the end of Moses' life. He's commanding Joshua of what to do when they arrive in the land. And Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning in verse 9, it says, "And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it." Moses says here, that is in the seventh year. So we know a little bit about the sabbatical years. Every 7 years, Israel's supposed to let the land rest. And then during the Feast of Tabernacles is a time where they release servants who have been enslaved over that for bondage, where maybe they had acquired some land, they were supposed to release that back to the original owners, is a time of refresh and restart. And this happens during the Feast of Tabernacles. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the people of Israel in Nehemiah chapter 6 and how the people were complaining to Nehemiah because the leaders of the land had taken their children, their land. They had nothing, and they were starving. And Nehemiah says it's time to release the people. It's time to give everything back. The Feast of Tabernacles is the time in which that was done. Continue on in Deuteronomy. Actually, I think I did finish that through verse 13. Also, in John chapter 7, moving to the New Testament, we see that Jesus celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. He was with his disciples up in Galilee, and it's time for the Feast of Tabernacles where they were all to go to Jerusalem. And the disciples say, "Jesus, are you going to come down with us?" And he says, "Not at this time. I'm going to wait to come down because there's men there who seek my life. But you as disciples, you need to go." And the disciples went ahead to the Feast of Tabernacles, and then later Jesus comes and begins to speak in the synagogue there during the Feast of Tabernacles. So we know it was celebrated during the time of Jesus. Also, we know that it is something that is going to be celebrated in the future. During the time of Nehemiah, during the time of Ezra, we had two Old Testament prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. And they talked about Haggai specifically about rebuilding the temple. We need to get back to rebuilding the temple. Zechariah looked more into the future and gave more details about future events. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. And in verse number 1 it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee." So he's talking about the future coming of the Lord. It says, "I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet," in verse 4, "shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azal. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." This is talking about the second coming of the Lord, when he comes back to earth. Not when he comes in the rapture to receive up his chosen, the church, but when he comes at the end of the tribulation. And he sets his feet down upon the mountain, and it's divided. So we know this is a future event. In verse number 9 of that chapter, it says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." Jesus is reigning as king. He has defeated the enemies of Jerusalem. And we look down at verse number 16, and it says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." So this feast is one that God initiated back when they were wandering in the wilderness, but for many years it was not practiced. We see it was practiced in the time of Jesus' day. And we know that in the future, in the millennial kingdom, it is once again going to be recognized as a feast. And people will come and recognize Jesus as king during this Feast of Tabernacles. I'd mentioned about the sabbatical year. We're going to look at that now in Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24, we're going to look at the sabbatical year. And this has significance because Israel was put in bondage because they did not observe the sabbatical year. Nebuchadnezzar had come down and captured them and taken them away because they forgot this year of rest. Leviticus chapter 24, starting in verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually, and thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2 tenths steel shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread of her memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place. for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. Why is this not what I'm thinking? Actually, I think it's chapter 25. Yes, chapter 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years shalt thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land. A Sabbath for the Lord, thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed. For it is a year of rest unto the land, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, for thy servant, for thy maid, for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. So we see here that we have this 6 years of work and seventh year of rest. Similar to the days of the week, you have 6 days of work, and on the seventh day God rested. Continuing on, we see him mention about the year of Jubilee. Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years, so 49 years, unto thee, 7 times 7 years. In the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed, for it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you, ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the land of this jubilee ye shall return every man unto his possession. So God is commanding Moses about the sabbatical year, the year of jubilee, to return everything, to give rest to the land. In this, it mentions the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Between the Feast of Trumpets that we studied about last week and the Feast of Tabernacles of tonight, there is this 10th day of the 7th month. That 10th day was the Day of Atonement, where the high priest once a year goes into the Holy of Holies and makes atonement for the sins of the people. Nehemiah does not address this in his book. I don't know specifically why. I have ideas. But it is not something that you know, on the second day of the month, as we saw in Nehemiah chapter 8, it says the second day they gathered together, they studied God's word, and they started making booths for the Feast of Tabernacles. But they ignored this Day of Atonement. But we have 6 years of work, seventh year of rest. Going to verse number 18. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes, and keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land safely, and the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And if ye shall say, What shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the 8th year, and eat yet of old fruit until the 9th year, until the fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. You know, taking that 7th year of rest was putting faith in God. Does God really know what's going on? when the people went into Egypt in bondage, it was because Joseph believed God. 7 years of bounty, and we're going to save up because we're going to have 7 years of famine. And he made provision for that. He planned ahead. And God provided. When they were wandering in the wilderness, God provided manna 6 days of the week. And on the sixth day, they were supposed to gather double. And it would last till the seventh day. But the previous 5 days, if they gathered extra, it would mold and decay. They had to put their faith in God that he would provide, and that he had a plan, and that his plan would work. And so for many years, Israel has neglected this Sabbath. They haven't put their faith knowing that God knows what's best. They've trusted in their own wisdom. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26 verse 1 says, "Ye shall make you no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword." See, God's giving a promise. If you respect my law, if you obey, if you keep the Sabbath, I will provide and I will protect. Dropping down to verse 30. Well, let's back up. Verse 27, "If ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat it. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. If you don't listen to me, you're going to be in want. I'm going to have to scatter you abroad. Your enemies are going to have victory over you because you're not following my plan." But in verse 40, "If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, which with their trespasses, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land." See, God says, if you humble yourselves, return unto me, repent, then I will bring you back and restore you. That's what Nehemiah does in Nehemiah chapter 1. He recognizes that Israel has sinned, and he repents of the sin of him, his fathers, and his fellow countrymen. And God has allowed them to return. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, Verses 20 and 21 say, "And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon," talking about Nebuchadnezzar, "where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. You see, Jeremiah had prophesied years before Israel, there's going to come a day where you're going to be taken in bondage, but God will restore you to the land in 70 years. He doesn't give an explanation on why 70 years and the significance, but he says you're going to be punished for 70 years. I believe Ezra wrote the book of 2 Chronicles, and towards the end, he says 70 years or 70 years or 70 years because the land needs the rest from the Sabbaths that you neglected. Deuteronomy 31, verses 10 and 11 say, "And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing." At the end of 7 years, they're supposed to read the law. They're supposed to recognize this time of release during the Feast of Tabernacles. Each of the feasts in the Old Testament not only correlated to Israel, but it also correlates to Christ and the church in the future. God had this all set up and planned out. We see dwelling in booths as a symbol of Israel wandering in the wilderness to remember God providing for them. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 35, God provided food. It says, "And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited." They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan. God provided manna for them while they wandered. While they wandered, God provided clothing for them. Deuteronomy 29, verse 5, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you. Thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot." Their clothes didn't wear out. What does Christ say in the New Testament? "And having food and raiment, therewith be content." He provided direction to them, though. He has given us his word, but in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12, it says, "Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go." God guided them in the wilderness with his presence, with that cloudy pillar by day and pillar of fire by night. But did they continue to believe God? Rest is resting in God and in his finished work. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18, "And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not?" If we don't believe, you can't enter into his rest. But having belief in God allows us to enter into his rest. In Hebrews 4, 3, it says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Before God created everything, he had this plan. I want to give the people rest, but that rest comes from faith in God. We have to believe. Jeremiah chapter 25. We see significance in this sabbatical year, in the Feast of Tabernacles, and how they were to release people due to that command. And during the time of Nehemiah, well, Jeremiah prophesied in Jeremiah 25, 11 and 12, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. These nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans and will make it perpetual desolations. Jeremiah 29:10 says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place." Then we get to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 is a prayer Daniel is making to God. And many of the things, if you read through Daniel chapter 9 in the beginning of his prayer, almost lines up with Nehemiah's prayer from Nehemiah chapter 1, talking about how great and terrible God is and how the people have turned away from him and they've done their own thing and now they're repenting of their sin. But in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." Daniel says, "I know. From reading Jeremiah, we have these 70 years. And God's going to keep it." As we mentioned in 2 Chronicles 36:21, "to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Israel was in bondage for 70 years because they neglected the Sabbath. They have been released under Cyrus about 70 years prior to where Nehemiah is back in Jerusalem. Zerubbabel came back and they began starting to rebuild the walls, and Ezra comes back with another group, and the walls are finished, and then Nehemiah comes back, or that was the temple. They were rebuilding the temple under Ezra and Zerubbabel, but under Nehemiah they rebuild the walls in 52 days. And it just so happened that they finished it 5 days before the end of the sixth month. So at the seventh month, they could celebrate with the Feast of Trumpets. Then we have the Day of Atonement. And then we have this recognition of everything returning. Because the fulfillment of 70 years has been fulfilled, the land has had the rest that God intended for it to have. And now the people can celebrate. But to remember, why were they put in bondage? Because they neglected that year of rest, that Sabbath. And this Feast of Tabernacles reminds them, you know what? You need to have this time of rest. Recognize that God is our provider. He has a plan. He has it all worked out. We just have to trust him and follow by faith. It may not make sense. A farmer saying, "Oh, I'm not going to farm my land this year because God said so." And people look at that and say, "Why are you letting your land rest? It doesn't make sense." Well, because God said so. Following God's plan is the best. We may not know, like the teens working through their puzzles, they knew I had an objective for them to achieve. They knew it could be worked out. But a lot of times they're sitting there, "I just don't know how this works." And they'd almost have to ask me, "What are we going to do here? Because I don't understand it. What do we do next?" Because I didn't have a great plan laid out for them. I had some things in my head. But God, he has laid it out for us. He gives us his word to guide us step by step. He doesn't give us the overall picture of everything. He lets us see into the future of things that will happen, but he doesn't give us specific dates. He doesn't give us a lot of specifics, but he gives us an idea of what's going to happen. We just have to trust him by faith that he knows what's best and he has a plan. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have a plan for our lives, that you want to provide, meet our needs. We just have to follow by faith. And we don't have to worry about it. We can cast all of our care upon you, knowing that you care for us. knowing that you know what's best even more so than we do. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. And help us to rest in you. We thank you for your word and the instruction it gives. In Jesus' name, amen.